Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Insufferable Cast Part 2, where both Chris and I will be insufferable today because we had fun NFL weekends, at least in terms of our favorite respective teams. Chris, what's going on? How are you?
Good. It wasn't just that. You know, we survived in Survivor, which is always the second most important thing after surviving in real life.
Yeah.
Which, you know, unless I've got some new technology that nobody knows about, that is evident by my being on this video cast. And then, you know, it wasn't pretty with the Rams, but that builds character. That's the way you want to have it all the time. And then what else happened? 7-0 on best bets. The Dolphins came through. Just a beautiful go ahead by one and lose by a field goal on a 2.5-point line. That's just incredible that they did
classic
that.
Classic cover. Really, yeah.
Beautiful job that they did. And just letting Atlanta get that first down and not even need to go for the touchdown and run the whole clock out. That was incredible. I feel it was a testament to the strength of that team and covering just when they needed to. So that's good. So I got three things, right? Survive in real life, survive in Survivor, and then keep winning those best bets. And then it was a bonus that the Giants won. Oh, and the Giants didn't just win. Who did they defeat? They didn't just defeat Sam Darnold. They kicked him out of the job. I mean, again, apparently he's going to start next week, but he got temporarily benched because the Giants beat him so badly. I think that if you were one of those people who was stridently critiquing the Gettle Chad, the Giga Chad, Dave Gettleman, for taking a running back over Sam Darnold. And make no mistake, Darnold was the guy that, you know, many people thought should have gone number one instead of Baker Mayfield. And, you know, the Giants had the second pick, and it was like the consensus guy they should have taken. And I'm telling you, if you haven't taken your L yet, I have people coming to find you and serve you process of the L. They will deliver your L and say you've been served with an L. Please report to Twitter and admit that you got the L, because say what you want about Barkley's durability. He's a running back. He's been hurt a bunch. He was a great player when he's healthy. And Sam Darnold not only wasted 3 years of the Jets franchise, thank God for them, they got those three picks back, but it looks like it wasn't just Adam Gase. I mean, the guy's not very good. So, yeah, I mean, avoiding that terrible quarterback is a huge W for a team. Even if you just skipped your first round pick, you'd be way better off than taking a very early first round, disastrous QB. So that was nice. And then 4-1 in the super contest. Dalton made us take the Texans, unfortunately. It was a great week. I think I was 4-0 in the NFBC. I did well in the stake league. I did well. It was almost perfect. There were a couple things, but it was mostly good. How about you? Yeah,
I had the most enjoyable weekend as a Bengals fan that I've ever had, in the last 10 years since before Carson Palmer's injury. That game against the Ravens, going into Baltimore, not just beating them, but beating them so badly that we could bring in our backup quarterback for the last 7 minutes of the game, seeing them bench their quarterback just to protect him a little bit. It's not going to last. I'm conditioned enough as a Bengals fan, but this is a fun team to watch. And they kicked some ass at our top rival's home field. It was so much fun. And Ja'Marr Chase is so good. And, you know, I still worry about how they're going to protect Burrow, but he wasn't like totally under siege all day. Obviously, he threw for over 400 yards. He looked a number one overall pick, looked like a number one overall pick. Our number one wide receiver looks like a generational wide receiver. It was one of those days where things came together, and it was so much fun to watch. The defense played well too.
Defense played great, and it's like having Beckham, you know, it's that feeling, but you have a quarterback to go along with it. You know, we had the carcass of Eli. You have Beckham, but you have the young QB too.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, they should have taken Penei Sewell or whatever. But like, if you get this is the whole Barkley argument all over again in a way. It's like, if you get a generational guy, who cares? Get the receiver. And if Burrow obviously knows, he played with them, he knew how good that guy was. They had T. Higgins, they had Tyler Boyd. It wasn't a position of need on its face. But if the guy's generational, who cares? Get the guy who is just gonna torch the defense. The sickest one was that long touchdown where he caught it and like spun out of a tackle, and all of a sudden he was gone. And then the DBs were chasing him, and he was widening the gap. And
you could
see them start to like give up because they were like, there's no way we're catching this guy.
Yeah.
And it was great. I mean, but that, you know, that really, to me, that's the thing. If you get a guy that is, you know, better than anyone in the last 5 years at that position, just take that guy. I mean, maybe not a punter, you know, but like pretty much any, you know, regular position player that's that good is going to be a huge difference maker.
Yeah. And we saw it with Kyle Pitts too, for that matter. You know, he two games in a row now for him, he has been living up to the hype. They went to him early, often, late. He was great. He was really good. It's two games over 100 yards for him too. So, you know, I feel like some, you know, I feel like the Falcons are feeling a little bit of justification for that too. It's satisfying. It's really satisfying to see.
Take the best guy. Take the best guy. I mean, if there's a quarterback that you think is going to be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL, if you really see it, go ahead and take the quarterback. He's the most important. Nobody's going to argue with that. But if the quarterbacks are just some guys who happen to be ranked highly that particular year in that particular class, do not force the QB pick. You know, go ahead and take Kyle Pitts. Go ahead. I mean, Matt Ryan needs a successor, right? They could have taken one of those, you know, Justin Fields or one of those guys, but they didn't. They went and they took a tight end with the fourth pick because this tight end is not like the others. And I do think that's I don't know why that got lost somehow, that this heuristic of the quarterback's the most important, which is true, became take a quarterback even if you don't really see anything in him special about the guy, just take him because he's in the conversation in the top, you know, in the top 10 picks. And you know, obviously Ja'Marr Chase is a great pick, Kyle Pitts is a great pick, you know, it's looking good for the Bengals, and they're one of the teams, right? The Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs are, you know, on the rope. So it's the Bengals, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chargers, the Titans. I think you have to say,
dare I say the Titans?
Yeah, no, the Titans. I mean, we got to talk about that game, obviously. And don't sleep on the Patriots. Okay. That's the other thought I had this week, is don't sleep on the Patriots. Not that throttling the Jets is that big of a deal, but I think they're going to be a tough out pretty soon. But those are the beasts of the AFC, and the Bengals are one of them, man. There's no dominant team. There's no team that can't be beat. There's no team that Burrow and Chase and that defense can't compete against. The Bengals are a Super Bowl contender. I hate to tell you, Jeff, I don't mean to jinx you, but they're a Super Bowl contender.
They should be 6-1. That's the one thing that's if there's anything to be mad about, it's that Green Bay game. They really should. They had that game.
Look who they're playing.
Nutless coaching.
Nutless coaching.
That if it weren't for that, we'd be 6-1 right now.
But they did win some games, like the one against Minnesota, although they should have put that one away also. But they're playing teams like the Ravens, the Packers, the Vikings. These aren't just – they're not just beating up on the Jets. They get the Jets next week, by the way. But and I hope they don't overlook that, because I might be forced to use them in Survivor. I'm not sure. I got to look at the numbers.
You're not going to be necessarily using the Chiefs anymore. We'll see about that.
Well, the Chiefs play the Giants, and I'm not. You know, if Barkley and Kadarius Toney are back next week, I'm not feeling so good about that Chiefs defense facing the fully loaded Giants, because the Giants. I think Joe Judge is, you know, he's not splitting the atom. He does a lot of those stupid punts, but he gets that team. That team plays. The Giants show up. They're not soft. And by the way, the Gettle Chad drafted Azeez Ojulari in the second round. Everyone said he was a first round talent, but he had some knee things in college or something. Mm-hmm. That guy is good. Yeah. And if Tony's back, I think the Chiefs, I don't trust the Chiefs. And so I think I would take the Bengals at the Jets over the Chiefs hosting the Giants. Plus, I don't want to get knocked out by my own team, but I got to look at all the numbers and all the other teams. But there's nothing else besides those two.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson's out 2 to 4 weeks, so Mike White will be the QB. Yeah. Now, that may not be as much of a downgrade as it's projected to be, but I don't know. Before we move on, though, I was remiss in mentioning our podcast is always exclusively sponsored by WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, their premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. Big thanks to WynnBET for sponsoring us all season long. All right, Chris. So we mentioned Kansas City. Let's get to this here. You know, that game could not have started off any possibly worse for the Chiefs than it did. I mean, they got down 14-0 really quickly, had a turnover. It was over. It was over right then and there. This used to be a team that was, you know, could come back, but you could just tell Tennessee was just going to grind them into dust. And the only thing that was disappointing about that game, well, not disappointing because I don't have them anywhere, is Derrick Henry didn't go like for 300 yards. Because
that was good. That was great. Yeah, that was a good thing.
But in terms of like disappointing for Tennessee or their backers, because they just this once Tennessee gets a lead like that, they're just one of the worst teams to try to come back against.
Right, because they can grind out first downs, grind out clock better than anybody. I'm very surprised, obviously, that the Chiefs only scored 3 points. I mean, if they're down 17-0, I could see them losing a game 35-31 where they come back, but the other team keeps scoring. But the fact that they never came back, that was really kind of eye-opening. I know Mahomes left late and says he's fine, but they never came back. They never got it going. And the really crazy thing that's going on here is everyone thought, oh, Lamar Jackson's going to get solved, or he got solved last year, right? And Lamar Jackson, well, the Bengals did a good job on him. But for the most part, Lamar Jackson has been a real problem for the rest of the league. But it's Mahomes and the Chiefs offense that's getting a little bit solved. They're taking away that deep shot, and they're just making him go underneath, and Mahomes doesn't like it. And I think he's getting frustrated and making some unforced errors because he wants to just use his talent to just blow up a big play. But they're just saying, we're not going to give you that. You're going to have to drive slow and boring and convert over and over again. And their running game isn't that good. And they only have really two dynamic players. The other guys were sort of glorified blocking receivers. Some of these, you know, DeMarcus Robinson and Pringle. And I wonder, like, you know, the Chiefs are going to have to make a counter adjustment if teams play them like this, because they're not lighting it up anymore. They're not doing what they used to do. Mahomes has thrown a lot of picks this year.
Yeah. So I think a couple of things are happening. One, I think the offensive line's really bad. Again, you know, they tried to revamp it. It hasn't worked so far. I mean, you had 5 new starters on the offensive line. That's hard to get that all in concert right away. I mean, like anything else, they need reps. They need to play together. They need to, you know, they need to get used to blocking for Mahomes. I think he does need to go underneath more often. I agree with this comment right here. He refuses to go underneath, and I think that's right. I think Mecole Hardman, I think we need to kind of – anybody who advocated for him, self-included, needs to take an L here. He's just not that good.
Yeah, he's a great athlete, but he doesn't seem like a great football player, and it's not the same thing. Evan Engram, great athlete, bad football player. I agree with that comment by our Frostbite guy who's in the comments. I agree with that.
That's Ian,
I think that,
by the way. It's one of our writers.
Ian, okay. I didn't know that was. I agree with Ian because, and I talked about this with CEH, why he never had any value in fantasy is because Mahomes does not check down. He wants to scramble and go for the kill, which is great. I mean, if you can get a 60-yard touchdown, it's better than a check down. But those checkdowns are there, and they kill the defense. I mean, when the quarterback's under pressure and he checks it down and the guy gets 13 yards or even 8 yards, those just like destroy the defense. But if you don't avail yourself of that, and obviously Mahomes is mobile and he can run also, but if you also added in that element, especially if they're playing to take away the deep shot, then you're going to keep getting these chunks of easy yards with your check down option. And he just didn't seem to do that. And so maybe he'll switch it up. I still have faith in Mahomes as being a great player. I don't care, you know, a couple of bad games or they're making him adjust. I think he will make the adjustment. I think that we've seen too much to even question how good this guy is. But right. But he does need to make an adjustment. That's right.
He does. I need to rewatch that game, though, just to see just exactly what happened there. You know, I think penalties sometimes get him in these long situations, too, and then they try to come back from that, try to get it all at once. I think you're right about that. On the other side of the ball, A.J. Brown, healthy against a bad defense. Good things happen.
Yeah, if he were truly healthy, I think I'd have him as a top five receiver. I want to see him off the injury report for a week. I just don't want this like, oh, he didn't practice Wednesday. If he's still nursing it, I just can't trust that he's not going to leave mid-game or, you know, not be 100%. But when he's 100%, he's unstoppable. And Tannehill's good. I've watched enough Tannehill. Tannehill is a good quarterback. He's he knows he makes good decisions. He knows when to run. He's mobile. He's got a good arm. He can do whatever they need him to do. So I do think A.J. Brown could be a monster, but I just see 1 week where there's just no injury report whatsoever.
Yeah. And the last week it was because it wasn't because of his knee. It was because of food poisoning. Chipotle went going wrong.
No, but I think he was also on the report for the knee before the food poison kicked in late in the week. And this week he was back on it. That was the Monday night game against the Bills. That the food.
No, it was dealing. He was dealing with it this week too.
Still,
he was like he tweeted out like on Thursday.
Was it really Chipotle? Because Chipotle had a whole scandal about that, and now there's more.
That's what it said. That's what he said, and he goes, "This she is real," and you know he couldn't keep anything down. So that was pretty wild. But I agree with the general point though. The thrust
that
is
Chipotle has some food poisoning, or that the knee thing.
The knee thing. I agree with that general thrust. That it's something I want to keep watching for a little bit there. Follow up there. He couldn't eat until Friday this week, and he was on IVs and soft food until Friday or something. So there you go.
That's the thing about being like a football player and stuff. Like if you're sick, they give you IVs. Like no one gives me IVs when I'm sick. You know, I mean, I get over this thing in like one day. Give me some vitamin C intravenous, some stuff. And they don't. It's nice to get the full treatment.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it is. And Julio looks okay. He had a couple of plays. Obviously, he was on the injured list most of the week, so he's dealing with that hamstring stuff. And I think that's just going to be part of something they're going to have to deal with all season long. But getting him in the lineup just as an opposite threat is still important.
Yeah, I agree. It's better if he's on the field. I wonder if we're ever going to have Julio be a startable guy that you can just trust, you know, that it's not like one of these and this bye week, probably people all started him since he was active. But I think in a few weeks, people are going to be like, I don't know if I can even start this guy. I mean, Allen Robinson for other reasons is in a similar boat where you're like, it doesn't matter what you paid for him. It's like, now you're just like, I just give me like Jarvis Landry or somebody, you know, give me somebody who can just get me like 10 points.
Not Jarvis Landry again. No more Jarvis Landry for you.
No, Jarvis Landry was fine on Thursday. He got all of his, points in like the first quarter. I sat him because I went to sleep before he was activated and I was like, oh man, I didn't see that he was activated, but it turned out I didn't miss when he started catching passes, you know, on the first drive. I got a little worried, but it's fine.
Yeah, so I agree though, it's tough. Let's talk Miami and Atlanta. We talked about the Kyle Pitts thing. I want to talk about the Miami side of things. Tua made some bad throws early on. He made one really bad throw, but he also showed a good amount of upside, clicked with Gesicki, got them into that comeback. Some of that was Atlanta-ing again, or the Falconing, or whatever you want to call it there. But
I think the Falconing sounds better than Atlanta-ing.
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah, I think so too. The Falconing was real and legit, but then they rallied. They still got the last first down, got the field goal there. They had a real man kicker, so, you know, that's good. That helps a little bit, but – Miami all week was dealing with the Deshaun Watson trade rumors. I'm sure that cycle is going to continue again this week. I'm still not so eager to give up on Tua.
Tua did make a terrible boneheaded play, but Tua's got something. He's not a zero. I think he showed something. He's mobile. He's not super fast, but he kind of is quick. He kind of makes a decision quick and gets yardage. He makes some nice throws. I don't know. He's sort of in that, you know, nebulous, like, could he be a good quarterback? It's hard to say. Obviously, Deshaun Watson is a great quarterback. And if you get by the suspension allegation, whatever, I don't think, honestly, I'm just going to be real about this. I don't think the teams in the NFL really cares about that. I just don't think they care, most of them at least. I think that they're worried about suspension. I think the PR, you know, people will be like, oh, he's a terrible guy. You're terrible. You're canceled. And I think like a month later, they'll forget. If he's playing well, it'll just be a thing. Look at Ben Roethlisberger, the stuff that he got accused of. And I think it was credible back in the day. And like, you know, nobody barely even talks about that anymore. Right. I mean, I think like this will just pass. But I do think there's a real chance that he's suspended the rest of the year. And I do think that, you know, I don't know, the NFL may come down hard. So I think that's a real thing. So even if they were to trade for him, you know, I don't know what it does for them this year.
Right.
And I assume Tua's got to go back in the deal, right? They're not going to trade for Watson and keep Tua. I assume like Houston would get Tua as their, you know, sort of franchise quarterback and a couple other picks is what I would imagine it would be. So that would disrupt Tua quite a bit because he'd be on this terrible team all of a sudden. Gesicki's a top five tight end. That guy produces every week. He's good. They get him the ball. It's really only he and Waddle are the only guys who are left standing right now. So I started him this week. I picked him up. I had Josh Allen and Herbert on bye, and I started two in all those leagues.
Yeah, I picked him up in a league where I had same boat. I picked up Tua in a couple of places, and yeah, and he showed the signs in the Jacksonville game the week before. I mean, the rest of they're still losing games though, and so I get why, like, you know, there's some panic there. But yeah, Gesicki's interesting too because he's always had the talent. It's just volume. Sometimes they ask, you know, they ask him to block a little bit more. I remember week one against the Pats, he did nothing. Maybe just the Pats are good at taking away a tight end. Maybe that's part of the issue there.
Someone dropped him in my super flex league, and I picked him up in week three. And since then, he's gone 10 for 86, 5 for 57 and a touchdown, 4 for 43, 8 for 115, and then 785 and a touchdown. The 5 weeks I've had him, there's only 1 week he didn't go crazy. So I've loved this guy, and I think he's their number one, 1A. You know, he and Waddle are their only two guys. I mean, Parker was hurt again. Fuller's out. That's it. I mean, that's who they throw to, and he's going to get tons of targets. He's a good pass catcher. He was the 42nd overall pick 3 years ago. He's just in the age and experience level where tight ends break out. I mean, Gesicki is like a top five tight end. Who do you got? You got Kelsey. You got Pitts. Waller's been hurt, and after week one, where I was jealous of not having after 19 targets, he's done nothing. I guess he's still the number three, maybe. Kittle's hurt.
Yeah.
Hockenson has not been good. I think, you know, I guess, you know, I think I take Gesicki straight up over Hockenson now. Andrews, maybe number four, and Gesicki five. Am I missing somebody? Gronk is hurt.
No, I don't think you are. And the weird thing about Gesicki is he got 20 snaps in week one. I still don't get that. I still don't understand that. But they won that game too, although that only because of a Damian Harris fumble. I mean, they're a fumble away from going 0-7 to start the year. And they don't have their bye until week 14. So yeah,
they should trade for Deshaun Watson because let's say he gets suspended the rest of the year. He gets time served, and then he gets the rest of the year. So he gets a full year off. And then, you know, they get like the, you know, the number three pick or something like that. And they have Watson.
They don't get it. They traded it
away to the Eagles or whatever.
Yes.
Or somebody.
Yeah. And that was in the Waddle deal. And Waddle looks legit. They're finally giving him some depth to target. He looks legit. But man, that was a, we're going to win right now. They won 9 games last year, 10 games last year. They're like, okay, we're ready to take that next step. We're going to get that game changing receiver. And oh boy, they're in bad shape here. And losing that first round pick next year is going to really hurt.
Yeah. Is there any way that it's protected or it's just no matter where they go? So there's that's rough. That's a rough, because they're going to have a top five pick probably.
Yep. And the Eagles are going to have their own top five pick. We'll talk about them in a second, but
they're going to load up. They're going to reload.
Yeah, they are. They have a bunch of other picks too. They have a lot of picks. We'll talk Eagles in one sec. Let's just share a quick note from Yahoo. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry to the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to claim the free $10 offer to get started. All right, so the Eagles scored on their first drive. They were moving the ball nicely early on. When they had everything scripted, Miles Sanders got hurt. The whole team, the offense went just in the dumpster the rest of the way until the very end of the game. I mean, they had some, you know, critical misfires, you know, fumbling the snap and at the goal line was really bad, but this team's a mess. They're not stopping anybody. Carr was just throwing all over them yesterday.
Well, first of all, the Raiders are good. I'm just going to say that they're actually good. They're an above average team. They would go 10-7. I think, you know,
I got some thoughts on the Raiders too. So yeah, we'll talk about them.
But the Eagles, Hurts is like the gulf between his fantasy and his reality is just so wide. And again, on fourth down with like the game on the line, they had this remote chance of covering, throws it away. Like, dude, I don't know how many times on fourth down that guy's chucked the ball into like nowhere. And not realizing, dude, you just have to throw it toward a jersey.
It was in bounds at least this time.
So yeah, but it was like just drop. Right, I know, but it's just like, come on, just throw it toward a jersey. You know, just throw it where a guy is. But he's just they're so inconsistent. And then, yeah, Sanders getting hurt was unfortunate. But and now it'll be Gainwell. But then Boston Scott is going to – so you're never going to know who to start even between those guys, even if Sanders is out for a while. So it's a really bad team. And, they're toast. Like, I think that the Giants, for all their faults, are the second best team in the division. Now, there's a big gap between them and number one, but there's the football team and the Eagles are just bad.
Yeah. I know Eagles fans think they have a raving lunatic for a head coach right now.
Oh, he's terrible. That guy. He's terrible.
Yeah. It started with the opening press conference. It was kind of bizarre. You heard about some of the questions he was asking in like potential draftees.
What was he asking?
I remember there were some really off the wall questions. I got to dig and get the specifics. I don't remember the specific questions, but I just remember that they were like, is he really asking this? Are you really crazy? Are you the Colorado Rockies making your front office employees be like cleanup crew too? Are you that crazy? Yeah, he is that crazy. He is wearing the Beat Dallas t-shirt in practice and whatever, which is fine, but he's got that rah-rah college coach enthusiasm for a bunch of professionals, and they just don't buy it.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was, but I remember watching one of their games where I had bet on them, and I was getting very annoyed with the things he was doing, but I can't remember specifically. It was some punt or some decision that made no sense. Some clock management disaster.
Yeah, he's part of the bottom 25 coaches.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. The Raiders, I think, freeing themselves of Gruden is helped them. I think the play calling is better. I was reading last week against Denver how they ran more play action against the Broncos than they had all season long, and it was working. They're hitting all these big plays, and it seemed like similar to me. Even without Waller, they were just carving up the Eagles secondary. And this is Derek Carr we're talking about here.
Well, he's been spreading it around, so it's hard to start any of those receivers on the Raiders. But when Waller's out, especially, he's spread it around. But he's good. He's accurate. He completed 32 of 35 passes. That's a very high percentage. He doesn't throw a lot of picks. He's not, you know, some superstar, but he's good, you know. And the defense is pretty good. And when the defense is pretty good and the quarterback's pretty good, I think PFF had like both of their corners. I think he had Casey Hayward as the top corner. And Casey Hayward was considered a really good corner in San Diego a few years ago.
Yep.
And I think they had two of their corners in the top like 10 or 15. And then, you know, Max Crosby's been getting the hits and rush on the QB. I think this is like a pretty good defense too. And, you know, I don't think they're a huge threat to win the AFC or anything, but I think they're like a borderline playoff team.
It could be. Well, and with expanded playoffs, I don't even think it's borderline. I think they're in, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, there's still half a season still left to play, but I just remember like reading in the offseason how this was going to be a historically bad defense, and it hasn't been. Their offensive line isn't great, but it's holding up better than some of the other ones out there, better than the Chiefs for that matter. And they made some interesting decisions. I just wonder, like, you know, I have a feeling we're going to see these exposés later on behind the scenes, Gruden versus Mayock versus anybody else trying to make decisions. And, you know, this is, you know, oh, thank God we can finally do this here. You know, everyone was like quietly supporting him, but oh, turns out Mark Davis was the leak behind those emails all along, or Mike Mayock was the leak behind those emails.
Oh, I see they set him up to get rid of him. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, the NFL has so many different, I mean, he was the one who was, and I don't disagree at this point when he's calling, he was mocking Goodell for being anti-football. Because remember that whole thing? There was like, it's really kind of gone away somehow. But like a few years ago, it was like, oh, you're never going to let your kid play football. You're going to get CTE and brain damage. And they were, you know, everyone was like, oh, football is evil. You know, if you let your kids play football, it's a terrible sport. And one of the emails, Gruden was mocking Goodell for being anti-football. And he was insulting him about it. But, you know, I sort of agree with that. Like, you're either, if you're the commissioner of the NFL, you can't have it both ways. You know, it's like, it's football.
Yeah.
I understand if people don't want their kid to play football, that's their choice. But, you know, if you're the guy running the NFL, you can't be sending that message. It's got to be like, no, this is, you know, this is an incredible game. Yeah, some people get hurt, obviously. It's a risk, but you have to have some sort of message. And Gruden was mocking him. So that would be the most obvious way that, you know, there was somebody who was annoyed with him, who was powerful. But, you know, of course, we don't know. Right. I got the feeling that I never got the feeling that they didn't like Gruden or whatever, but I do think more likely, like, he had his way of doing offense and his ideas, and then maybe they were just a little stale, and they get, you know, some new blood in there calling the plays, and it's just more creative, more modern. And it you know, it's happened before. The Giants, who was it? I think it was, I can't remember who the coach was. It was either Jim Fossil was the coach and Sean Payton was calling the plays, or Sean Payton was calling the plays and Jim Fossil took over. I can't remember which way it was. And they made the Super Bowl in 2000. They just turned it around when they got a new play caller in. It just opened things up. And so that, to me, is the most likely explanation, is that they're just more creative. They're doing some things more efficiently.
Yeah, they might be. They're off this week. So are the Ravens. Ravens really need that time off to get a little healthy. They lost their right tackle in that game against the Bengals. Already had lost Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle. So that was a big part. I mean, Lamar got sacked like five or six times. So both of those teams, they need some time off. We'll talk a little bit about the Rams-Lions, because that was some survivor drama there. But first, a note from Thrive. Thrive is back for another season of fantasy football, and they're running huge guaranteed contests each week this NFL season. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you claim your free RotoWire subscription. 1. Visit rotowire.com/thrive. 2. Deposit a minimum of $10 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. 3. Play in your first paid contest and receive a free 6-month RotoWire subscription.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Big thanks to Thrive. Big thanks to our Blue Wire Network sponsors as well. Let's talk a little Survivor. Most of the world was on Arizona. Most of my entries were on Arizona because I had used the Rams earlier. In many cases, I had used the Bucks. In many cases, I had used the Packers already. So I was kind of in a spot there where I think I had maybe one entry where I could choose between the Rams and the Cardinals. But I was pretty much part of the general masses taking the Cardinals this week. You, however, were on the Rams building character once again.
Yeah, so we had the Cardinals available. We didn't have the others. We'd use the Pats and the Bucks.
Yeah,
and
we'd use the Pats too against the Texans.
We'd even use, even though I wouldn't have used them. We'd use the Ravens. We'd use every single team, the Packers too, against the Lions. So all we had was the Rams and Cardinals. And somebody pointed out in my Survivor column that the Rams this week, Week 8, play the Texans, and so we should save the Rams and use the Cardinals. And I thought, no, it's just the opposite. And Dalton looked it up, and 95% of the people had the Cardinals available. Only 45% had the Rams. And I figured a lot of those people would save the Rams for next week, so everyone would be on the Cardinals. Weirdly, in the $6 million pool, most people were on the Pats this week. It turned out to be a good call. Yeah. We were on the Rams. It was a little dusty. They were losing for a while. And they even at the end, they were only up six, and the Lions were driving with like 4 minutes left. If they get a touchdown, you know, then we need a last second drive. They probably would have done it, but one turnover, one stop, and that's it. And Goff throws the soul-crushing pick, and the Rams drive down, kick the field goal. It's over. So that was character building, and it was good. It was annoying, though, because – so I had to watch the game, right, because it was my Survivor game, and it was a tight game. And then worse, Mark Sanchez and some other nutless monkey who he's partnered with, I don't know who it was, they were announcing it. And I've never – I swear to God, this was the all-time number one – I've never seen more ass licking in a broadcast toward a player than these two guys toward Matthew Stafford. I've never seen, it was just like the whole broadcast was just like, and it's incredible what he does with his eyes. He's looking these people away. Look at him control the thing. And he's not, and I'm not saying he wasn't appreciated in Detroit because he was, they knew he was a great player, but the national media didn't appreciate him. It was going on. And I mean, it was the whole goddamn game. And hey guys, they're losing and I have them in Survivor and you're acting like this guy is, I was going to say Joe Montana in my column and I changed it. And I said like Kim Jong-un and we're all in North Korea. It was so phony. It wasn't like praising a great player. Like you'd say like Joe Montana or Tom Brady, how great he was, but you wouldn't keep going in this like sycophantic verbal diarrhea that they couldn't stop. It was just unbelievable. And then
it was hagiography basically is what you're saying.
In real time when they're losing. And, Matthew Stafford's a very good quarterback. If they win a Super Bowl there, he could even be a Hall of Famer eventually, possibly. But come on, he's not, Russell Wilson has been better. I think it's...
He's moving him with his eyes, though, Chris.
Yeah, I know, he controls...
I know, on that cup play, it was like, he's looking in his direction, but not really. He knows he's going to be there. Oh, it was so bad.
It was really bad. And it was tough. It was just tough to listen to. I'm like, dude, we're just trying to get it. Now, we were a team of destiny. We knew we were going to win, obviously. So it didn't bother me that much. I was able to watch it, but it was brutal. And there is this sort of announcing school of, posterior tonguing that these guys go to. And that's all they do. They just kiss ass the whole time. That they just suck up to the guys. It used to be the veteran players. Oh, Jason Witten. Oh, my God, what a leader he is. And Larry Fitzgerald. Larry Fitzgerald, he's as valuable as ever. He's as valuable as he's ever been after he makes like a 6-yard catch and gets tackled. Like No, he's not. He's not nearly as valuable as he was. He's old. Yeah. He's slow. He's barely
ben
hanging
throws
on.
One good deep ball. And like, he still can. Who said he can't throw deep? Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, it's really bad. But this is one of the worst I've ever seen. And so it was what it was. That was my takeaway. The Rams, the Lions had a good game plan, but it's funny because what's his name? Dan Campbell. He does an onside kick. They score a touchdown. He does an onside kick. They score a touchdown on a broken play. It was a pass to DeAndre Swift, who's very valuable. He's going to catch a million passes, and he breaks one for a long touchdown. Okay, 7-0. Onside kick, get a field goal. But they also fake two punts successfully. So the onside kick and two fake punts. Oh, good. You're a 15-point underdog on the road. You want your first win. You're going all in. 4th and 3 from 47 yards out. Field goal. And then 4th and 2, punt, you know, they were on their own 40, but it's like, are you all in or not? Right. Faking a punt is more risky than a 4th and 2. Like, I understand there's times where you just punt, that's fine, or just kick the field goal, that's fine. But if you're going to be all in, like, oh, we don't care. We're, you know, we haven't won a game and this is a huge underdog. Why are you stopping when it's actually like a legitimate thing? When is it actually like just a run a play and they wouldn't do it?
There was that sequence. They ran it 3rd and 1, ran into the pile, got stopped. 4th and 1, they hurried up, ran it into the pile, and got stopped. Yeah. So he probably took a lesson there. Okay, we can't go for it on 4th.
No, that was after, though. That was after he had already
punts?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Forgo the chance. It was just weird to be so gambling-oriented and then be so concerned. It was ahead, and they got a lead. And then he was like, oh, we have a lead.
In Minnesota, too. You know, if you remember Minnesota, they were down 10 points in the 4th quarter and punted from the Minnesota 40. It worked because Madison fumbled. They scored. They didn't. They got the 2-point conversion, the bold call instead of tying it to go for the 2-point conversion. That was great. That was right. It was the right move. I was happy to see it. They got the gods punished them still because then, you know, that was the one time Joseph hit a game-winning field goal as opposed to all the others. But nonetheless, you know, there is that disconnect. He's kind of like Mike Tomlin in in terms of when am I aggressive and when am I not aggressive?
Right. It's not like a consistent thing. And I get it, but like, it was like, oh, we're up 10. Now let's like be conservative. No, you're up 10. You were 15 point dogs. It's the 1st quarter. Like, you're still probably projected to lose the game. Like, keep going, keep pushing. Now I was glad he punted or went for the field goal because again, but we're a team of destiny, Jeff. So it actually didn't really matter what he there's nothing he could do. As I said, I could no more lose than Oedipus could avoid his fate.
I saw that on Twitter there. I thought that was pretty good. You are the team of destiny. There are still other teams of destiny.
Well, it's an easy year.
Of destiny. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not less monkeys who believe they're teams of destiny. Just like when I'm in traffic on the highway, there's people clogging up the highway and there's me going to someplace I need to be. Right. That's the difference. They're just clogging up the pool. Thinking they have a chance to win. There's no point in them actually doing it. They're just sort of, in my solipsistic world, they're just there to, you know, just to pretend like we're actually having this pool.
Yeah. I actually saw some people took Carolina in one of my pools, bless their hearts. Like, they're trying to create their own destiny, but come on, guys.
Now, you can't fake it, Jeff. You can't fake it. You either are a team of destiny or you're not.
Yeah. There's one team that took Carolina. A couple of people took Baltimore. Yeah, that would. Thank you for your service. Appreciate you. Yes.
Maybe next year. Maybe next year they'll have a shot. Yeah. But it's been really easy, Survivor, unfortunately. And so there's just a lot of people still alive. You know, I mean, you have to. It's almost everybody's winning every week.
It's almost going to be interesting to see like who got themselves out of sequence and are still surviving.
That's
so
us.
So they have some strong teams left at the end.
No, we don't have strong teams, but we're out of phase with the rest of the pool, meaning like we took different teams. Now, actually, you can get back in phase, though, if everybody catches up and takes those teams, and now you've all used the same teams. But we're definitely a little bit out of phase. We still have the Cardinals, which so many people use this week, and we have some different, you know, we've used up some teams that people are going to take, and it doesn't really matter if they have the better teams, if there's a lot of people in the pool, because what matters is that they have different teams, and then you know, by accident, you end up winning. But we have the Bengals left, Jeff. We still have the Bengals available.
Well, that's good. We'll probably be there writing together next week. We'll see. Yeah. Let's close on that note. Writing together on the Bengals because they doesn't get to happen very often. So let's.
I'm not committing to that, by the way.
I know.
I'm meant to get off the horse while you crash and burn. But we'll see.
All right. So fair enough. Oh, by the way, I won Force the Bet this week. You missed yours, and I got the Colts, so that was good.
Good for you. I should have taken the Bengals like I was going to. That was dumb.
Yeah. That was Yeah, but I almost took the Bengals. I would have made more money, but so it goes. Yeah. That's all right. I still got to enjoy the game nonetheless. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks to WinBet for their sponsorship, their exclusive sponsorship all season. Appreciate them. We got Joe and Jake tomorrow going to hit you with a bunch of free agent ideas, and they're not even all the Captain Obvious ones. They'll dig a little deeper on that too, so tune in for that. Chris and I are going to go run off to do SiriusXM. We'll catch you over there if you were listening live here too. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.